Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rudog Reyes on the RudogShow.com doing something different today with some Pirates talk. There's been a lot of head-scratching, or would it be, by the release and or not re-signing of Pedro Alvarez, who at times, and I'd seen him at Petco Park on a couple of occasions against the Padres, very, I don't know, I would say almost inconsistent, but welcome Paul Alexander of Root Sports to discuss this with me. Is this head-scratching for you, and are the people in Pittsburgh doing the same thing?
Well, he's been someone that has kind of confounded the fan base as well as management and certainly the manager in Cliff Hurdle. This guy was a number two overall draft, tremendous power. I mean, power that you can't teach. I mean, the kind of power that just a little check swing and he can knock it out of the ballpark, you know, the opposite field. Prodigious power. But at the same time, all of a sudden he couldn't throw the ball from third base to first base, and they had to move him to first base, and there were times he couldn't even catch the ball. So, you know, 25-plus years, a couple years in a row, you start to wonder, is he costing you more runs than he's driving in? And what does it do to a pitcher that doesn't have faith in one of his infielders? And what does it do to a team when you just can't even do basic things that, you know, you do when you're 12 years old as a baseball player? But at the same time, one thing you can't teach is power. And Pedro has an unbelievable amount of natural ability from that left side. So is it a shock? No. Is it unfortunate that, you know, such a big piece of the last 3 years of their success just basically walks away and there's nothing in return? Yeah, you scratch your head about that. If the Pirates knew that they weren't going to make an effort to keep Pedro or pay whatever was coming his way, $8 million plus in arbitration, well, yeah, you might want to, you know, try and trade the guy, but when the rest of Major League Baseball gets the idea and knows that, you know, you're not going to make an effort to sign him, they're not going to make an effort to trade for him. They know that he will become a free agent, and if they really want him, they can go get him that way. So, unfortunately, I think, Rudy, in this situation, the Pirates had hoped things would come together and they would make an effort probably to re-sign Pedro. But when you can't hide him in the field, and obviously the National League doesn't have the designated hitter, there's really nothing else to do with Pedro Alvarez.
You know, he was expected to earn an extra $2 million on his contract if it was offered, in fact. And at times, it looked as though he was somewhere else. It was almost as if he wasn't in the game, even though physically he was on base. The ability for him to recognize when to throw, win the whole position, it just seemed very much so too inconsistent. Look, the Pirates overall won more games last year than any, you know, 2 years combined. So looking at it from a fan's perspective, what do you expect to see in Nisi moving forward with that acquisition?
Well, it's going to be interesting. And what I think that Pirate fans need to do instead of reach for that panic button, which they do so routinely and so quickly, is let Neil Huntington and his staff put a roster together. You know, before they report in February to Bradenton, let's see who they have with an ability to make this team. Now, with the trade of Neil Walker and obviously the release of Pedro Alvarez, they lost 43 home runs from last year's team. Mm-hmm. That's going to be extremely difficult to replace. So they have their work cut out. There's absolutely no question about that. There's help in Josh Bell, but, you know, he has never played a single moment of Major League Baseball. So he is probably, at the very best, one of those late June guys, if you want to, you know, go ahead and see if you can pop him up here and give him a go. That's not the Pirates style either. They don't let you make an attempt at a Major League spot until you've proven that you can certainly handle whatever they offer in AAA. And Josh Bell hasn't proven that yet. So I understand why there's some frustration and anxiousness among the Pirate fans right now, but I'm not going to jump to anything or overreact until I see exactly what the roster looks like, you know, for, you know, that Sunday in April when they open the season against St. Louis, or even when they bring certain players or make more deals. Let's see who reports to Bradenton. as Pittsburgh Pirates this year before we all of a sudden condemn and just, you know, rip apart Pirates management for what right now appears to be a lessening of their talent.
Looking at, going back to the Neil Walker trade, that one, you know, he's a Pittsburgh native, did so much. He was first-round pick in 2004 amateur draft, and the Pirates really looked to him in a lot of different ways, from his defense. I remember watching him as well play, and it looked as though it was just very, very consistent. And then, again, from a fan's perspective, you scratch your head thinking, okay, what's really going on? And I agree with you. Let's not scratch your head. Obviously, this guy and what he meant to the city of Pittsburgh, you know, as well as a departure of a Pittsburgh Penguin, you know, he's played his last game. What is the consensus around Neil Walker, and do you think that the Mets are going to find gold in him in their lineup?
Well, I certainly wish Neil the absolute best. I've known the young man and his family for a long time, met him as a really, really good football player when he was a junior at Pine Ridgeland High School when they played for a state championship. He was something. He could have been a D1 football player, a phenomenal athlete. And unfortunately, it's been a bumpy ride. He came up as a catcher. They moved him to third. They put him in left and center. Then, of course, he finally finds a home at second base, where since 2012, he's hit more home runs than any other second baseman in all of baseball. So offensively, Neil has been a very, very big-time contributor. There's no question. But the funny thing about Pirate fans, they're a little short-sighted. They're up in arms that they would get, you know, with Neil. They automatically go to the Pirates won't spend money. Well, the guy they traded Neil for makes more money than Neil. So obviously we got to strike that immediately from the record as the Pirates aren't going to spend money or this was some sort of salary dump. It was not, not even close. And then the Pirate fans said, well, you know, you need to make that next step, and you need to make something happen in the postseason. Neil's had two postseason hits. He's 0 for his last 27 in the playoffs. So, you know, as much as I love Neil Walker, I love his family, love everything about him. He's one of my favorite people, not even as an athlete, just as a person. I love the kid. If you're really looking to improve in the postseason, well, you know, you have to wonder, was Neil ever going to click in the postseason? He struggled mightily offensively in the postseason for the Pirates. So you can't look at this trade as weakening the Pirates' postseason roster. It just doesn't, because Neil is here. He's had trouble in October. He's had trouble in late September. He's had injury issues. He has a bulky back. He's over 30. And what the Pirates did, unlike with Pedro, they decided if Neil's not going to be our long-term solution at second, then he's probably not. You know, Josh Harrison will probably move to that spot. They bring up Josh Bell as the first baseman. You have Jordy Mercer at short. You have John Hogong at third. There's your infield. So the Pirates have a plan, and I think what Pirate fans need to do, and it's hard to do, is imagine if Neil Walker was from Bakersfield, California. I don't think people would be up in arms.
No.
We fell in love with Neil because he is the Pittsburgh kid, and he's a great kid. He's a tremendous human being. He's a really good baseball player. But see, when the Pirates are making their roster, their long-term decisions, and Neil also was not willing to take a hometown discount. The Pirates attempted to sign him long-term, maybe at numbers that were kind of insulting to Neil. But at the same time, they made the effort, but Neil was not willing. He didn't want to play here so bad and stay here so much that he would have taken less money to do so. So I think for Neil, and this poor guy, and I've seen it firsthand, every event, every cause, every charity wanted Neil to be a part of it. A lot of people were just with their hands out taking from Neil. They want this. They want that. Neil, can you do this? Can you do that? And I think it got a little tired, you know? The off season is not all that long. And when every person wants Neil to do something for them, because he's the Pittsburgh kid, and he's a great kid, and he doesn't want that legacy to be in any way tarnished. He wants to make himself available for all these great causes and these great charities. I think we wore Neil out a little bit here in Pittsburgh. And I think this might be kind of a change of scenery can do a lot of things for people. And a lot of them are positive. And while I certainly, you know, hate to see Neil go. I'll hate to walk in that clubhouse and not be able to talk to him and say hello. I'm going to miss his family and his dad, who I'm a huge fan of. It's going to be hard. But the Pirates made a baseball and a business decision, and I think the Pirate fans need to respect that.
As an organization, the Pirates have done a lot. And you know, from a fan's perspective, you're right. You can't be short-sighted. You can't be short-winded. You have to take a deep breath and say, you know what, Neil, you're on to a better place. Do you think that ultimately there's going to be some type of rift between Neil Walker and the city of Pittsburgh and or the Pirates organization?
Certainly not the city. I mean, the city right now is up in arms. They're upset. They're fired up. They turned their back on a native son. So, no, there will be definitely no love lost between – I don't think the Pirates have any ill will whatsoever toward Neil. I don't think Neil and his family are going to resent the fact that they didn't offer a big-time, long-term contract. I think there will always be animosity and angst about that because that's what they wanted to have happen. And Neil, you know, from his perspective and I think his family's perspective, here's a guy that went from catcher – to third, to outfield, to second, and never said boo. Was willing to do whatever, and there was talk, you know, with Pedro in his, you know, imminent departure. Neil and I, you know, heard him in an interview yesterday say, hey, you know, I went to the Pirates and said, hey, I'd be more than willing to learn how to play first base. So, yeah, he was absolutely willing to do anything to stay here except take less than what he felt he deserved. And, you know, these contracts down in Major League Baseball are kind of obscene. So I think Neil, in his 30s, was looking for obscene money. And the Pirates not only weren't going to do that for Neil, they're not going to do that for anybody. That's just not how they do business. They don't want to be on the losing end of a bad contract. They don't want Neil at 33 or 34 to really not produce and still be owed, you know, $10 to $15 million a year. You don't want to be caught on that. The Steelers don't do that. They never get caught in a bad contract. I mean, they even dumped Lamar Woodley, and they owed him a ton of money, but they saw that that wasn't going to work out. Mm-hmm. Jason Gilden, among others. They get out of those contracts. Now, the thing in baseball that makes it so much more difficult, as you know, in the NFL, those contracts aren't guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Granted, you take a hit on the cap, but in Major League Baseball, those guys get every penny, every dime. So it's a business decision. A baseball decision, and to me a very unfortunate decision, that, you know, has Neil Walker, a New York Met, and I don't like the Mets. I'll never like the Mets. I'm always going to love Neil, but nothing can make me like the New York Mets.
Nothing more than having Niecy, a former Met, as part of your rotation in the pitching for the Pirates. What are your thoughts about him, and what do you think he brings to the Pirates organization that they had been lacking thereof last year and years previous?
Well, certainly, there is simply not enough pitching in Major League Baseball, and as an organization, you can't have enough of it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what a career 500 pitcher does under the tutelage of Ray Searidge. We've seen it with Edison Volquez, Francisco Liriano. Ray Searidge hasn't been able to, you know, make a huge success out of every single, you know, pitcher they've brought in, but certainly he's helped more than he hasn't. So Niecy is going to be interesting. I think it's good to be a left-handed pitcher at PNC Park, so he'll get the majority of his starts there. They still need more pitching. So I think good news for Pirate fans is, yeah, it's horrible to see Neil Walker go. Boy, it's good to get another capable arm in that rotation, and they need one or two more.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that statement. And again, watching who they went through, they went through J.A. Happ, they went through just a plethora of players. I mean, including your ultimate closer in Melanson, who had a record closing ratio last year, just absolutely astonishing to me. But then here are the rumors about people like Mike Napoli and Shane Victorino. What do you think the likelihood of the Pirates getting this, you know, wild card in Mike Napoli to cover first base?
Well, I mean, that's going to be interesting. And one thing that you're always going to have to understand is a player, certainly whether you're a free agent, you have the ability to ask for how much money you want, and you get to choose which team you want to go to. So there's that. Then if it's a trade, you know, there's others. Why don't they trade for this guy? But the other team has to be willing to accept what you're willing to offer to make that trade happen. And it takes two to tango in an MLB trade. So it's going to be interesting. I have faith in Neil Huntington. I think he's done an amazing job in his tenure here. And I look forward to him to do more magical things. You know, I mean, when Grilly left, who's going to be the closer? Oh, you know, maybe Mark Melancon can be okay. And if they end up dealing Mark Melancon, which is a possibility, you know, maybe Tony Watson will be that guy. I mean, if you as a Pirate fan, after what you've seen over the last 3 years, if you don't trust Neil Huntington, you honestly have not been paying attention.
There has been an uprise in what the Pirates have been doing in the regular season that will put them in a better position in the postseason. People were looking forward to the Pirates, you know, getting past those nasty Mets and those pesky Cubs. What are your thoughts about moving forward? I mean, obviously you can't tell from what they're going to do, but once the roster is put together and what Huntington will continue to do, I mean, if you get Shane Victorino, he's going to be a compliment to Polanco, who's got a serious gun from the outfield, and I've seen him make some serious throws to home plate and third and second and first therein. What are your thoughts about Victorino possibly joining to complement that?
It'll be interesting. And again, there's a lot could happen between now and, you know, pitchers and catchers report. So, again, to speculate on who's acquired and how, most deals that happen are the ones that are never talked about, that kind of come out of nowhere. The fact that you're throwing names like Victorino out there and Napoli, those are probably the ones that don't happen. It's been my experience 30-plus years of doing this stuff. The ones that are out there that are, you know, the media's talking about, fans are clamoring about, those are the ones that seem to never happen. The ones that happen are the ones that you didn't see coming. Because you know what? GMs like Neil Huntington and others, they're not allowing the situations they want to have happen get out to the public. So to speculate on a guy like Victorino or whomever, I'm a big wait-and-see guy. Once they have a 25-man roster and they bring it north to open the season, I'll have a ton of opinions about that. I don't mind speculating about who should they, you know, keep. And obviously we're talking about Neil being traded and Pedro being let go. But to speculate on who's coming in, I really just don't know.
It's really hard to tell. Huntington's been doing some pretty tricky things. I mean, unlike the Steelers, who, I'll give you an example of this, Dree Archer out of Michigan State. Then, and this just chokes me up. And then they release him in lieu of Jacoby Jones, who not only gives him negative field position, but fumbles because he takes his eye off the ball. Bad mechanics, bad hand-eye coordination, put the Steelers in a very unfortunate field positioning multiple times. And here you release a guy who's done nothing but know when to say when, raises his hand and calls it a day. That's a head scratcher. And so now you send him down to third string. What's third string? That's, what is that, practice squad? I mean, you may as well just say practice squad and call it a day. And then now you have Marcus Wheaton, who's going to take over punt returns in lieu of having Jacoby Jones out there, and essentially Antonio Brown may see some action there as well. Look, I'm all for Antonio Brown doing everything that he's been, not including that goalpost hug, but still, when you put someone who is looking for one of those outstanding contracts headed into the offseason, granted the Steelers don't head into postseason, but in either case, he's making a case for himself being re-signed to, you know, 2-3 year extension. You mentioned Lamar Woodley. Yeah, you're right. Steelers will get involved in those types of contract, you know, debacles. They'll release you. They don't care. They've done it to many players because they don't fit the system. Santonio Holmes is another example of that. He gets into a physical altercation with his girlfriend, aka wife, and now the Steelers just let him go over a glass of wine that was spilt. So, you know, you can cry over spilt wine if you want to. And the Pirates are keeping this super hush-hush. So a big difference between the organizations and how they handle contracts and players and things of that nature. What do you make of that exactly?
Well, everybody makes mistakes. And you're talking about a couple of, you know, Dree Archer, Jacoby Jones, huge mistakes. I don't know what to make of that. Jacoby Jones should have been cut immediately after that fumble. You know, Marcus Wheaton is a guy that should be returning kicks anyhow. Dre Archer should have never been on the roster, period. Those are just big mistakes, and everybody makes them. But, you know, Antonio Brown is electric as a punt returner. He can be comfortable enough to, you know, call a fair catch and not put himself in, you know, extreme risk of injury. And Marcus Wheaton is a guy that needs to assert himself and make himself more of an impactful player by returning kicks. And I think he's going to be a great one. And I think he's someone the Steelers should and probably want to re-sign. I have no problem with mistakes. They're made. I mean, football games and won or lost because of mistakes. So, you know, you're going to make your share of roster mistakes along the way. I don't think there's any question about that. But I have no desire to revisit the Dre Archer mistake. And I think that Todd Haley has to get over this whole, you know, tiny little back thing that he had some sort of fascination with. Let that go. Angelo Williams has shown you, even with the absence of Le'Veon Bell, you don't need some little scat back that can't pick up a blitz to save his life for anything. And he was brought in, I guess, to return kicks, and he can't do that either. So that was just a mistake. You have to let go. Jacoby Jones, a mistake, you let go, and you move on. And I think they'll move on quite well from those two mistakes.
And the Steelers usually do, whether they owe money to somebody or not. Look, you're going to sign a one-year guy. I'll give you an example of that. Michael Vick, who comes in. I was at that Monday Night Football game in San Diego where it was almost as if there was no continuity from the word go with Antonio Brown. Now, look, to Mike's credit, to Mike Vick's credit, he did what he could with the information that he had, with the play reads, his regressions. Look, he's a left-arm quarterback. Not many of those in the league that can do what he had done. Again, hence the word had done. Antonio Brown and him never got on page, never received those major balls. I think there was one target where Antonio Brown actually was able to catch the ball. And it was just amazing to see. And then here you go with Ben Roethlisberger coming back, who, you know, is clearly the leader on this team. Was it the mechanics of Michael Vick to Antonio Brown? Was it the fluidity?
Michael Vick is not a cerebral quarterback. He did not, in any way, shape, or form, grasp the offense. He didn't. When Landry Jones becomes a better alternative than you, you've really let yourself fall tremendously. And that's Michael Vick was the best available quarterback at that time. They gave it a shot, and it didn't work. And that's okay too. Rudy, I'd love to do this all freaking day.
Yeah, no, I
got to fly. I got a couple of things that I got to get to right now. But it's been a blast. Thank you. Anytime you need me, give me a buzz. This was an absolute blast. But I got to fly, my friend.
Hey, not a problem at all. Thanks for your time, Paul. I thank you very much.
You got it.
And with that being said, this is Paul Alexander, Root Sports. I'll let you go. Have a great day, and we'll talk as the spring training moves forward.
You got it, my friend.
All right, take care. Thank you so much. And with that being said, this is Rudy Rude Dog Reyes with Paul Alexander of Root Sports on the RudeDogShow.com.